Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Last week, the federal government declared an unprecedented shortage on the Colorado River, which means states like Arizona and Nevada are about to lose a tremendous amount of water. In a way, it's no surprise. The seven states that use the river agreed to those cuts several years ago when they signed a deal to limit its use in times of extreme drought. That day has finally arrived. The country's largest reservoir at Lake Mead has gotten so low that Arizona will be forced to cut 21% of its annual water supply from the river in January. And the cuts are likely to get much worse. Sarah Porter joins us now. She's director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at Arizona State University. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
We are talking about unprecedented cuts on a river that gives life to 40 million people in the Southwest. Give us a sense of the magnitude of this problem. How dire is it?
We're in a very serious situation where the levels of Lake Mead and Lake Powell, the two big reservoirs that hold water for California, Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico, are approaching Deadpool.
And Deadpool is?
That's the point at which water can no longer be delivered off the reservoir.
So the seven states that rely on the Colorado River agreed to cuts. Of those states, Arizona was actually the hardest hit. The state will lose 592,000 acre-feet of water in January. That is technically enough water for more than a million, about 1.5 million homes in a year. But most of these cuts will actually hit farmers first. Tell us what farmers are up against in the next year or so.
Well, it's not quite as simple as it looks. So the Central Arizona Project is a canal that moves Colorado River water 330 miles across from the western border to Central Arizona to be delivered to Phoenix and Tucson and the farming region in between. When the CAP was first built, the farmers in Central Arizona realized that they couldn't afford the water. It takes so much energy and it costs so much to start paying back the loans for the infrastructure that water was extremely expensive. And so the cities agreed to subsidize the cost of that water for farmers in exchange for farmers to essentially give up their priority. So this is a deal that was worked out over 20 years ago where farmers agreed that if there was a shortage, they would take a cut. And it means that the cities stay in the highest priority pool on the CAP, and so they're the last to take the cut. And the reason for that really makes sense. The last group of people you want to have their water cut are people in a city. You know, it becomes a matter of public health.
I don't know. Our farmers are growing our food. Don't we want them to have water?
Yeah, you're right about that. But all of this is about long-term planning and long-term certainty. So I think the bigger picture and the bigger concern in terms of making sure that there's enough Colorado River water for continued farming is on the main stem of the Colorado River. Imperial Valley, Yuma, Arizona, these are regions that produce the food that the nation eats. And having them have to produce less because there's less water will have repercussions for the national food basket.
So let's step back a little bit because, you know, these agreements, these cuts really aren't going to solve the problem. The reservoirs are so low right now that earlier this summer in June, the federal government actually stepped in, told the states they're going to have to cut even more, another 2 to 4 million acre feet of water next year. Tell us why the federal government felt like they needed to step in here.
Well, there's a federal agency, the Bureau of Reclamation, that manages the Colorado River system. And, you know, the allocations that were decided back in 1922 overestimated the amount of water that we can reasonably take out of the Colorado River annually. Yeah. On top of that, when they made the allocations out of Lake Mead, the water managers didn't calculate in the fact that 1.2 million acre feet of water are lost through evaporation and through seepage. And then on top of that, we have an over 20-year drought that is reducing the amount of water that flows into the system. and climate change impacts, which point to a long-term reduction in flows. Yeah. So all of those factors added together really lead to the conclusion that the Colorado River sharing states and the Republic of Mexico need to get to a place where we reduce the total amount of water that we expect from the Colorado River by at least 20%. And that has to be our new normal.
Well, getting to that place, to that new normal, has been painful, and states have been fighting over how to meet these new conservation targets. In fact, they missed a deadline to come up with a plan. Tell me the kinds of conflicts that you see playing out between states. I mean, do you expect lawsuits here? Are we talking about violence? I mean, these are weighty issues and problems for people in their everyday lives.
This is just, it's such a tough one because it means that some water users have to go without water. I don't think that violence is going to emerge. And I would point to a quarter century of collaboration and consensus to resolve big problems on the system. I believe that they are looking to action by the federal government. That would be the easiest for them because then none of the water managers needs to go back to their water users and take the blame. Instead, they can put the blame on the federal government.
Our colleagues at KUNC have reported that even if every home in Los Angeles, in Las Vegas, in Phoenix turned off their faucets, you still would not save enough water. So how in the world do we resolve this problem if the drought doesn't end soon? Are there any ideas that will actually work?
Yeah, I mean, there are, but it means less water. It means that everybody pitches in and uses less water, and where that will be felt the most is in agriculture. And of course, that participation means that they take a hit. Those rural communities that depend on agricultural production will be impacted. And I think the solution includes making sure that those impacts are mitigated to the extent that they can be, that cities, you know, step up to help mitigate the impacts that agricultural rural communities feel.
And beyond agriculture and farming, I mean, if water stops flowing through the Glen Canyon Dam at Lake Powell, I mean, you're going to lose hydropower, and that's going to get a lot of people's attention.
Yeah. You know, in big cities, big, well-resourced utilities are working to make sure that they have backup supplies of power should the hydropower production in the Colorado system be impacted. Where we'll see the impacts again are more likely with rural communities and with tribes. We have these rural electric co-ops. We have tribal communities that depend very heavily on that hydropower, and they will be the most strongly impacted.
Do you think water users in the Southwest fully understand the significance of this problem, the potential catastrophic impacts that we're facing?
Everybody understands that this is a much more serious situation than we were facing a few years ago. But I'll tell you, there's been a kind of a cultural avoidance of talking very openly about water challenges in the Southwest. The water managers have been very frank with each other about water challenges, but they have been hesitant to speak very candidly with decision makers and business leaders because it's a complex subject. And they've always, you know, been hesitant to make people fear more than they should. We're now at a place where I'm seeing much more candid conversations, much more willingness to act. I think that there has been a big shift.
Because we're talking about these unprecedented cuts, but really it's a fraction of what the government says is needed to keep the Colorado River system from fully collapsing. How do you see this ending, Sarah?
I think we're going to get to a point where we have figured out a way to leave 2 million acre feet of water in the system every year and move forward from that. What it's going to take, the one ingredient that is essential, is leadership. I believe that we'll get the leadership we need and we'll get to where we have to be because it's an imperative. We really don't have a choice.
Sarah Porter runs the Kyle Center for Water Policy at Arizona State University. Such an important topic, Sarah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.